Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. We're so glad to have you this morning, and I want to remind you to please sign your name on the register at the end of each pew, pass it down, and look at your neighbor and speak to them. Say good morning. Let us prepare our hearts for worship by beginning by singing our refrain, which is at the top of your bulletin on this page. Just a couple of brief announcements. First of all, I want to remind you of the midweek Lenten service. This Wednesday, it begins at 12 for lunch, 12:30 service, and then again lunch at 1. So don't forget to support the community worship service. This Wednesday, it will be at Westminster Presbyterian. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday, and all of the children through the fifth grade are invited to participate in the processional. Please be in the sanctuary for rehearsal about 10 o'clock. Also next Sunday is going to be the special event Easter Egg Hunt, sponsored by the youth. You will be invited to come to Wesley Commons, and a very special appearance is in order. I understand the Easter Bunny is making a very special appearance at Wesley Commons at 3 o'clock next Sunday. And finally, I want to remind you that the deadline for purchasing Easter lilies, ordering the Easter lilies, is Monday, April the 6th. The form is in the newsletter, but you can also contact the church office. Now I want to turn this over to Larry.
It is my honor and distinct privilege to welcome special guests this morning, the Furman Chamber Choir from Furman University. They are under the direction of Dr. William Thomas. Martha and I sang under Dr. Thomas's direction a long time ago when we were students at Mars Hill. Accompanying the choir and also providing other service music today is Dr. Charles Tompkins, and he is the Furman University organist. The choir will be singing several things during the service, so the service has been altered ever so slightly today. So please keep that bulletin nearby so that you see what's coming next. You may will also notice that the final hymn is actually an insert in your bulletin, so please make sure that you locate that and keep it handy for that final hymn. One of the things that we are doing that's slightly different today is the passing of the peace, which we are going to do now. So would you please stand and greet those around you with the peace of Christ? The rains have finally stopped. It is a beautiful spring day, and now let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship. Will all who are able please stand and join me in the call to worship. The days are surely coming, says our God. The day is here to affirm a new covenant. God's law will be written on our hearts. Our Creator claims us and forgives our faithlessness. God offers us the joy of salvation. Our brokenness can be healed and wholeness restored.
Seated. the doubts, and inattention that mark our response to God summons us now to confess our sins. The promises of God, which we have ignored, draw us back to consider the covenant God offers. The obedience of Jesus can inspire in us a reverent submission to God's will. Let us seek forgiveness and reconciliation. Please join me in the unison prayer of confession, followed by a time of silent and personal confession. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquity and cleanse us from our sin. We know more of our own transgression than we have been willing to admit even to ourselves. We cannot escape from the sin that clings so closely. By our actions and our neglect, we have done what is evil in your sight. May your judgment help us to face the truth about ourselves. Then wash away the stain of our iniquity. Create in us clean hearts and renew our spirits. We are ready for a new life. Amen.
Today's Old Testament reading is Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34. You can find this passage on page 899 in the Old Testament section of your Pew Bible. In this passage, the prophet looks to a day when God will make a new covenant with the people. Only this time, there will be no need for stone tablets, because God will write it on their hearts, informing and enlightening everything in their entire lives. Listen now for God's word. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading for today comes from Hebrews chapter 5, verses 5 through 10. You can find this on page 267 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. Using priestly imagery and references to the Old Testament, Paul explains how Christ lived in trusting obedience to God, and so God has made Christ the source of our eternal salvation. Listen again for God's word to us. So also Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, You are my son, today I have begotten you. As he also says in another place, You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. This is the word of the Lord.
We come to our time of prayer. Let me lift up some names before you, some concerns you may not be aware of. Camille Wolfe had surgery this past Friday. We continue to be in prayer for Billy Tunstall, Amy Gregory Young, Meredith Driver Edwards, for Wayne Wilson recovering from pneumonia, for Mary Jane Thompson, who is in recovery at National Healthcare, for Carolyn Childers recovering from some eye surgery, and many other unspoken concerns in situations that you lift up only before God in your time of silent prayer. Let us go together to God in prayer. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, we have come out from among many voices to hear your word, for you alone have the words of eternal life. And Lord, we are not content with the narrow definition of eternal life as some far-off place beyond these bodies. We know that you can create in us new hearts now. We know that you can speak to us through your Spirit and move in us in ways that only you can even now. We know and have heard you calling our names to break out of the mold the world has cast us in and become new creatures, capable of feeling and loving and forgiving, as you have felt for us, forgiven us, and loved us in Jesus Christ. And now, healer of our brokenness and comforter in our pain, touch us today. Speak to us today. We wonder, as we retain bitterness in the season of Lent and introspection, who are we to withhold forgiveness from our enemies when you have forgiven us? How poor is our memory when we count ourselves better than others? How selective is our thinking when we count offenses against us greater than offenses we have committed? Show us today that the key to understanding your great love is to first understand our need for a Savior. How far we have fallen short of your glory. We do love those who love us back, but what is that? Do not the heathen do the same? Lord, give us grace and power to love the unlovely, to love those who hate us, who use us, and cause us pain, as Christ has for the world. And give us the freedom to forgive, not to hurt again, so that we can stop hurting ourselves, stop reliving old pain, stop the bitterness from stealing our joy each day. Lord, remove the scales from our eyes that keep us hard and blind to your great love and forgiveness and grace toward us. Move us to love and forgive others, not just for your sake, but for our own, so that we can be healed and whole. And now, Lord, as we contemplate the cross ahead of us in this season and the Easter beyond, we see the cross not just for the sins of the whole world, but also for us, for our sins. Lord, we thank you for your great love. And we lift up our prayers, trusting in your grace for ourselves, for our families, for our nation, for the leaders of the nations of the world, and for situations that we lift up only before you in prayer. Hear now the silent prayers of our hearts. Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now let us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts.
Call for songs of loudest. Hither by thy help I come, and I hope by thy good pleasure save me to arrive at home. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, O take and seal it, seal it for thy choice of love.
Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We do thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
You may be seated, and we invite the children to come forward for the children's message.
Good morning. You're going to have to get a little closer because I have something that I want to show you. Oh, don't tell us yet. Let me turn it around. Now, can anyone tell me what I am holding? Raise your hand. Yes, sir.
Mary.
Mary. Well, Mary has put on a little weight, it looks like. Well, that's a great guess. Does anybody else want to venture a guess? Yes? Okay. I do that a lot. Yes? A large woman. Okay. That's also true. You know, this must not be as common today as it was when Miss Emmy and I and Miss Kathy and I grew up. All right. Some of you adults sitting here, tell us what I've got in my lap. A cookie jar. Boys and girls, this is a cookie jar. Did you not know that? That's a new concept. Okay. A cookie jar. Well, it is a cookie jar, but for many of us, for many boys and girls, and for many of us, moms and dads, and grandmamas and granddaddies, it represents something else, and that is temptation. The cookie jar sits on the counter every day. And there's a rule in most people's home that says no cookies before a meal or take only one cookie at a time. But the cookie jar sits on our kitchen counter day after day as we walk by it back and forth, just calling out to us. Yes, it's calling out to us. So, now our head, would you do that with me? Our head knows the rule. And what is the rule? No cookies before meals, and if you're going to take a cookie, only take one at a time. Our head knows the rule, but our hearts and our tummies don't always listen to that rule. Now, God tells us in the Bible that he was ready for his people to know what he wanted them to do without his always having to tell them what to do. So he decided that he was going to write his will on our hearts and in our minds. You know, that's a lot like your parents telling you the cookie rule over and over. They want you to know the rule in your head, but they want you to obey it in your what? In your heart. You are a good listener. So I've got a way for you to remember that, and it's going to involve your hands. Would you do this with me? Okay. God wants us to listen. Now you put both of your hands on your ears. Listen to his will. He wants you to remember, put your hands on your head, in our heads, minds, and in our, now put your hands on your heart, in our hearts, what to do. So this is very short. Remember, listen, remember, do. Now we've got a very special song that's going to be sung just to us. So we're going to stay here and listen, and then we're going to have our prayer. And maybe a cookie after that.
Jesus loves me, this I know. Oh,
was beautiful, wasn't it? All right, can we all sit down and have a prayer? Okay. And then maybe a cookie? Okay. Dear God, thank you for all the good things you give us. Help us to remember your will in our minds and in our hearts. Amen. And if you've been really good, and if it's okay with your mom and dad, you may come and have one cookie before you dismiss. Let me hand it to you.
Our guest choir is phenomenal. I, however, will be much the same as I always am. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, before I begin, I told an illustrating story, which I thought was mildly humorous this morning, and the 9 o'clock folks just did not get it. I trust that you are smarter. Caroline and I did attend, this is true, a Wild Game Supper last night, and I have experienced many firsts here at Main Street. Last night, I ate, for the first time, squirrel and some raccoon, goose, etc. I like the etc. the best. I only started hunting since moving here with 3 different members to kind of get to know people better, and I'm not fully into the hunting culture, and some of my new friends don't really understand my attempts at humor. They just don't quite get me yet, and I've pondered whether it is wise to be a wise guy to people with loaded guns nearby. But anyway, last night at the farmer's market, there was a woman who just happened to be next to me in the serving line, and she was dressed from head to toe in camouflage. And she said something to me in the serving line, and I acted startled, and I said, "Who was that?" You'll laugh later. She didn't get it, and I can see that you don't get it. We're moving on. And Jeremiah, in Jeremiah's time, dressing properly and washing properly and memorizing scripture and keeping special days and ceremonies, that was all important religious stuff. But God said through Jeremiah, "You know, I see what you're doing. It's very nice. You're squeaky clean, you're well-dressed, well-groomed, and your worship runs precisely 1 hour. But what I had in mind was your hearts." You know, I build my own computers. I upgrade them and I put new motherboards. And there is something that you should do that most people never do. And that is, from time to time, check and see if there is a new BIOS available and upgrade your motherboard. Now, the BIOS is the most primitive brain of your computer. And from time to time, the factory will release a new BIOS. It's the heart and brain of the computer. And it is almost, on occasion, like getting a new computer, because it corrects old errors and it will give your computer new abilities it did not have before. One day it cannot recognize this type of hardware or run on this type of software or processor, and you download and you upgrade the BIOS and bam, now it can. Of course, if you do it wrong, you have a very expensive doorstop. But the new BIOS rewrites your computer with new capabilities, new features it never had before, and overwrites these old errors. And this is an analogy. Try as we might on our own, all we can do is what we can do, relating to God and relating to others. And that is always to fall far short of the glory of God and the intention of God to have the people of earth love God and love each other. We can know about it, but only as a future feature awaiting an upgraded BIOS from the manufacturer. Jesus said, the first covenant, Jeremiah said that the first covenant was based upon behavior and was a failure because it had expectations that we could not live up to. God can see us, and God sees that we do fine with external, quick-to-keep rules and regulations and hand-washing, etc. But when it all comes down to matters of the heart, loving God, trusting God, and loving, and for goodness sakes, forgiving enemies, we don't even come close. You know, the Lord's Prayer we did just a few moments ago speaks to this. Speaks to God's knowledge of our internal heart, where we say, "Forgive us our sins, Lord, as we forgive those who sin against us." Internal. God knows what's going on in our hearts, knows when we're acting like we're forgiving, but in our hearts, really not. We are not capable on our own. We cannot even sincerely try on our own. We can do the superficial stuff. We can camouflage our hatred and hide it behind a smile. We can camouflage our greed. We can hide it behind rationalizations and speeches on why it's my money and I'll do what I want. But we always come out sounding like petulant 4-year-olds. Mine. I don't like you. Me first. Even accomplished religious people apparently feel that way on the inside but hide it on the outside. The moral lesson that Jeremiah points to is that we do not and we cannot keep covenant with God on our own. If we are to have a covenant relationship with God at all, it's got to be from God's initiative. And if we are to keep it, then God is going to have to rewrite our hearts and give us a new bios, so to speak, more than a practiced smile and a camouflage for our greed and rationalization for our continued grudges, hatreds, lust, and such. God is going to have to give us a spiritual bypass. I'll try another analogy. You know, in a heart bypass, what they actually do is add new vessels around the blockages on the very surface of the heart. And so a spiritual bypass may be an apt analogy, which I'm not going to push too much further, but God changes our hearts, promises a new covenant, not dependent upon what you can do, but God will write His laws upon our hearts, forgive us which we need, and enable us to be fully what God has always intended. Our hope is not in us or what we can do. Our hope is in God's internal changing, internal heart, bypassing the stone blockages within and giving us a new heart, a new spirit within. And this passage sort of reminds me of once I remember in the fourth grade. I think it's the fourth grade where they used to introduce long division. And we were all just sort of playing dense because we didn't want to do it in fourth grade, I think it was. And we told the teacher we were pretty sure that what she was showing us just would not work. Just forget it. And she was at the end of her rope, and she said, "I wish I could just bore a hole in all of your skulls and just pour it in." And she left in a huff, and she slammed the door. And after that, we got serious, because we thought she had gone looking for a drill. God is saying in the Jeremiah passage, you can't get it, so I'm going to give it to you. You can't keep the covenant, so I'm going to change you to enable you. So that you can. Relationships with God are possible because God initiates them and God enables them and God empowers us to grow into them and to later serve Him by loving God and loving neighbor. This is what God has desired all along. Notice the three big items in this passage: forgiveness, changed heart, and I will be their God and they will be my people. The forgiveness of sins is huge. If sins and old stuff stayed between us, well, you know what happens to any relationship when unforgiven sins stay intact. It makes relationship impossible. Now, judgment is possible, and spite is possible, and blame and guilt are possible, but not a relationship, not a heart to heart. And so it is a huge thing that this new covenant Jeremiah speaks of contains, I will be their God, and they will be my people, and I will forgive their sins and remember their sin no more. And the terms of the covenant will be written not in stone, but they'll be written on their hearts. You know, in the Apostles' Creed, we didn't say today, but we'd usually say, it says that as an article of faith that we believe in the forgiveness of sins. As an article of faith, we believe in the forgiveness of sins. We kind of skip right over that. If we do, it should show in how we think about ourselves and how we treat others. Forgiveness and the possibility of new life and new relationship, even with those who have sinned against us, is possible. It is an article of faith. God has rewritten our hearts and forgiven us and given us a newfound ability to forgive others. Think about it. This covenant, this new covenant, is based upon our failure to keep the old and God's determination to make another one we can keep. And this is where grace rears its beautiful head. The new covenant starts with God's initiative, starts with grace, and it's personal. The personal part of the covenant causes a little bit of embarrassment among us when we get to be too sophisticated. We can be a little embarrassed about the idea of a personal relationship with God. People say, how can I, a finite being, relate in any meaningful way to the eternal God? Well, fast forward to the New Testament. It says that Jesus Christ has made the eternal God known. Got any questions about the character and the personality of God? Look to Jesus, and there you will find all of God you can understand. Maybe not all there is, but all that is knowable. And that personal relationship, which is so philosophically difficult and tossed about at revival meetings, sometimes in a facile way, that it is a preview of a personal relationship that is spoken of here in the Jeremiah prophecy. It's previewed here, comes to fulfillment in Jesus. Jeremiah says, God is my God. Not a God, but not the idea of a God, but my God. God for me. The God who acted for me and in me. The God who wrote God's desires and blueprints for new life on my heart. And that God is the God in particular, the God who wants us to live out the Ten Commandment imperatives of love God and love neighbor. And as Jesus added, love self. That's personal. That's personal. And no matter how perfectly done, God is not satisfied with external religious faith that's all head faith. You'll remember that Jesus cared nothing for the Pharisees' ritual purity and nitpicking interpretations and additions to the law. And we all have met some squeaky clean, outstanding churchgoers who later revealed themselves to be trembling bundles of hatred, contempt, and judgment against anyone and anything that didn't conform to their idea of what was proper. Two young boys were close friends, and one asked the other to come to his church. He declined and says, no, I don't want to go. And finally says, why don't you want to come to my church? He said, I can't come to your church. He said, well, why can't you? He said, because I belong to a different abomination. I think I've told you of the time that I was invited as an example of bad behavior to a friend's revival meeting. I didn't know in advance that's what I would be. I was the object lesson for the guest preacher, and I think he must have felt righteous pointing at me, staring down, because I showed up with jeans and a t-shirt, long hair for the summer, and a Joe Namath Fu Manchu mustache, which some of you will remember was fashionable at one time. And I had different views, and I came from a different church abomination. I grew up hearing about God in Jesus who said, whomsoever will come. And I think that's what he meant. But this one summer night, I found out that some churches wanted folks to clean up and dress up and look the part, and then we'll let you come. It's dangerous. If we let God be the doorkeeper, this new covenant described in Jeremiah is very dangerous. It paints God as determined to have relationship. It reveals a God who changes hearts first, way before ritual purity. Shows a God who forgives sins and forgets them way before growth and faith. You know, people can be poor and have good hearts. Good hearts with God. People can be uneducated and be godly to the core. People can be dressed to the nines and lie every time they open their mouths. People can have multiple degrees and have hatred and pettiness and jealousy to the bone. God is not impressed with respectability, although we work for it and we yearn for it, and in our world and culture it opens doors for us. Respectability, God doesn't care about those outside things. God looks at the heart. God looks at the heart. Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And if you cannot love God with all your heart, with all your soul and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself, no matter how hard you try, then quit trying on your own. It is time to rewrite, time for a reset, time for a spiritual bypass, whichever analogy works for you. In this light, listen to Jesus. Where your heart is, where your desire is, where the things you want with your innermost self are, there your treasure is. God gave us a hunger to be in relationship with God. Our treasure should be our relationship with God, and that relationship changes us. How could it not? But churches, being what they are, from Israel to Judah to Methodist to Baptist, churches being what they are, tend to slide toward external rules, don't they? But those external rules dehumanize. I've got a story as I close. I know what time it is. Years ago, a man had a habit of going out before breakfast. He had an old well that had good, sweet well water in it, hand pump well. And he would go out and get a pitcher of well water, nice, cool well water for breakfast. Well, one day he went out, and one January morning, he slipped on the ice. He landed with a bang, and his wife heard the noise of his fall, and she called out, Henry, did you break my mother's pitcher? in pain and a little disgust. He said, "No, I didn't, but I will." And bam! And they heard another crash. You see, that's not the way the church ought to be. You broke this rule, you broke that rule, and that's what's important. No, people come first in God's new covenant. I will be their God and they will be my people. I will forgive them, rewrite their hearts so we can have a relationship. And I know that God can rewrite hearts. God is rewriting mine. I have a ways to go, but God is rewriting mine. From the beginning, people have become Christians through a personal experience with Jesus. People such as Paul on the road to Damascus, Augustine in his garden, St. Francis in a shrine, Luther in the Black Tower, John Wesley at Aldersgate Street. God is still working on people's hearts. And we are still trying to do it by ourselves and keep up appearances. But God wants our hearts. That's all I want you to remember. God wants our hearts. God wants our hearts. Amen.
Thank you.
receive this blessing, the blessing of the full knowledge of the love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness which is yours through Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and the blessing of the Holy Spirit who gives comfort and guidance and power to perform this faith which is ours. You have been blessed. Now be a blessing to others in Jesus' name. Amen.
I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in his arms. In